Blog Talk Radio. divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teachings, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Today is Wednesday, February 1st, 2012, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live this first day of Black History Month. Virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Hudu Central, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hudu Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. Do continue to join me and support us here at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Hudu New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio. Live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience 24 hours a day. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we will be forward with you momentarily. I am going to reintroduce OJ Lola Ifa Sakin of Osabile Lajuba Ifa Temple in the Atlanta, Georgia area momentarily. I'm going to play just one short song, and then we will be right back with Baba Ifa Sakin, remembering that all is indeed and truly a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it's just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe.
Baba logo malaguje metan zomo abre de lizo gati jua baba gai sai shoni
baba logo malaguje metan zomo.
Hey, abre
baba logo malaguje.
give thanks indeed, for we are truly blessed to have you with us here at High Noon U.S. Standard Standard Time for the Power Lunch with the Divine Prince and Baba Ifa the Ken. Alafia, Baba, how are you today?
Alafia, Kasan, I'm good, and you?
All is indeed a blessing. We are truly honored to have you back with us again this Wednesday, February 1st. And hopefully every Wednesday moving forward, huh?
That's what I'm looking forward to as well. And I want to take this moment to give praise to Olo Damare, give thanks and honor and reverence to my ancestors and the ancestors of our audience and your ancestors, without whom we would not be here today. I want to give thanks to Ifa, Rumila, and to all of the Orisha who guide and protect us and assist us every day of our life up here. Today is the day of Ogun in the traditional four-day worship cycle of Ifa, and thought perhaps we would focus on that for a little bit.
Give thanks. Always a blessing.
I was wondering if you might have any questions about Ogun that have maybe been presented to you before, or perhaps some question of Ogun that you have yourself.
Off the top of my head. We have about 14 minutes, so if you just go ahead with your material, that will be acceptable.
All right. Ogun, as many people know in African tradition, is a warrior and hunter Orisha. And in the Lukumi practice of where they give warriors when somebody comes into the religion, Ogun is among those warrior Orisha that they receive. In the West African tradition, we generally don't give warriors when somebody comes into the tradition, because, I mean, for one, we're considered to be born into it, even if we come into it later in life. And just that whole concept of giving or receiving warriors is not part of the African tradition. But anyway, Ogun is a great warrior and hunter. He is also a guardian of justice and believes in fairness very much. I want to share with our audience one story of Ogun, which comes from the Odu Ifa of Ogun Ameji. And in this story, which actually says a lot about Ogun, we have two men. They lived in separate areas, but they were each out trying to hunt for food for their families. And one of them had no weapon at all, no tool or anything. The other one had a cut-open calabash. And the two of them happened to cross paths in the forest when they were out hunting. And they decided that they would hunt together and hopefully come up with some, you know, hopefully be able to catch an animal or two that they could take home to their families. And after hours and hours of no success, they found themselves near a body of water. And they looked at the body of water, realizing they didn't have any kind of a net to catch fish. Nothing for them to use. But the one who had no tools at all, he looked at the man that had the cut-open calabash, and he said, well, hey, we can go in to the water and sift through the water with the calabash and hopefully catch fish. you know, we can do that enough. We can catch enough fish, and both of us can go home and feed our families. So they decide, okay, that's great. So after hours and hours of sifting through the water with this calabash, they only get one fish, and it's starting to get dark, so they know they have to head home. They begin fighting over the fish, because the one who had no calabash, that had nothing, he said, well, hey, it was my idea to go into this water and sift through it with your calabash.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was my idea, I should have the right to take this fish home to my family, to feed my family. The other one said, well, yeah, okay, maybe it was your idea, but if I didn't have the calabash in the first place, what idea would you have? And without my calabash, there would be no fish. So he said, well, you know, I should take the fish home. The other one said, I should take the fish home. And these two men actually got into really fighting and brawling over this fish. And they each, you know, one's holding onto the head of the fish, the other one's holding onto the tail of the fish, and they're pulling and fighting and at the same time punching on each other. Meanwhile, Ogun had been out in the forest hunting. And he heard this noise of these men yelling at each other and beating on each other. And he came across them, and he asked them, well, what is the problem? So either of the two men explained their story, you know, one saying that I came up with the idea, so I should take the fish home. And the other one saying, well, it's my calabash, so I should take the fish home. And then they just continued to yell at each other and beat on each other and tug on this fish right in front of Ogun. Now, Ogun became both annoyed and amused with this situation. And then he drew out his cutlass and cut right down in the middle of the fish. And the two men fell back, one of them holding the head and the other one holding the tail end of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the man holding the head of the fish, he looked in his hand and saw that the tail end, a new tail end, grew out of the head, so he had a whole fish. The other man who was holding the tail end saw that the head end of the fish grew out of that, and he also had a whole fish. So Goon had solved the problem and made the situation fair, because neither of the men would have had anything to eat if they had not worked together. So they both had rights to fish. And Ogun made it profitable, really, for both of them, or beneficial for both of them, by making it so that they both had a whole fish to take home to their families.
Yeah.
They thanked Ogun and said that they would always praise him. And they just asked him for one more favor, and that was that they could cut a path home for either of them, because it was dark by that time and they didn't really know where they were going in the forest. Ogun, being an expert hunter, knew the forest, you know, throughout. So he cut a path through the forest for one to go home, and he went home to his family, and he promised to tell his family about Ogun, and to always praise Ogun, and to always be a devotee of Ogun. Ogun then went back to the path.
Baba, can I jump in there?
Please do.
Yeah, if I may, I want to also say that Ogun fulfills that same path in Haitian voodoo, Haitian and New Orleans voodoo, as the road opener, if you will. We all
right.
know Legba Ishu stands at the crossroads, but it's really Ogun who is the frontiersman, who clears the land, who makes the path clear that we might then go forward. And
exactly.
Feel
and that's why this particular
process.
That's why this particular story in the Odu Ifa tells so much about Ogun, because not only that he administers justice and makes sure that things are fair, right, but he is the one who opens the road, just as he opened the road for these two men to get home. So anyway, he went back and opened the road for the second man, set the path for him. And that man also promised to always be a devotee of Ogun, spread the word of Ogun to his family and his friends and his neighbors. And it was from that point on that Ogun became known as Ogun Dameji, which is Ogun makes it double.
Mm-hmm.
This is he cut the fish and made that double. And then he also cut two paths for either of these men to get home.
Yeah.
All right, so we see in this, Ogun is strong. He settles disputes. Ogun is fair because he will settle disputes fairly and make sure everybody gets their fair share. He opens the road. We also see that Ogun has a sense of humor because he didn't only get annoyed by what was going on. It also amused him because he saw a silly fight between two men. Right? So he has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we see, you know, several different characteristics of Ogun in this one story of of Ogun Dameji from the Sacred Odu Ifa.
Give thanks. And we do have a caller on the line, Baba.
Okay, let's hear from our caller.
773 area code. Your line is open. Who's calling?
Yes, Brother Chibuweze from Chicago. Brother Divine. Divine,
yes,
Chris, how you doing?
Blessed. All is a blessing.
You're welcome, brother.
How you doing, Baba?
Very good.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm just listening in on the conversation. Didn't really have a question for right now.
Okay. Well, we most certainly do appreciate your call. We have about 5 minutes in the show, so we're
okay,
gonna,
I'm listening in, but surely if I have a question, I'll raise my hand.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if we have any questions or maybe further information that we can expound upon from that old Louis Fah or just about Ogun in general, let's bring that up. And
well, I did want to add that also in the voodoo traditions, you don't sort of receive Ogu as a warrior either, but he's sort of someone that we all need, if you will,
right,
in the building of not only our spiritual path, but our life path. So we tend
right
to battle with Ogu. And battle doesn't always necessarily denote, you know, war or conflict, but just clearing. If you've ever built a garden from scratch and you had to get the rocks out of your yard and the
right
weeds out of your yard and all the stuff that's not beneficial to the future life of your garden, then often that hard work has to be done first.
Right.
Some people,
those,
I think,
those are the challenges that we face as we pursue our destiny.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Ogun is there to help us through all of these challenges. And these are the basic, like, little battles of life that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, you know, it's not always a war or an actual fight, but you know, there are struggles that we go through in life all the time. And we need to be able to deal with those, and Ogun is primary in helping us do that. And more as a warrior, we do have Ogun's assistance in dealing with enemies. Right? And enemies can come in many forms. They can be a man or a woman, a witch or a wizard, or known as Ajay or Oso. Ajay being the witches, also known as the Yami, and also me and the Wizards. Or it could be the same entities in spiritual form, or it could be any other negative spirit or negative person that may try to impede our progress. And, you know, we have specific prayers in that are directly from the Odu Ifa, which call for the Orisha to help us in dealing with our enemies. One thing that's very important is that we should not try to take on the fight of our enemies ourselves. For one, we don't have all the resources ourselves to take on our enemies, and also we can misidentify our enemies. We can think a person is our enemy and they're not, or we can focus all our attention on one person as our enemy, and that person's just a small piece of the picture. And you know, we have other enemies, so we don't need to focus so much on identifying a specific enemy. We just know that, okay, there are enemies out there, and we want the Orisha to handle them for us. And we don't generally tell the Orisha, you know, I want you to do this and this to that person. That's wrong. The Orisha will know how to handle our enemies. So, yeah. I mean, there are certain kinds of things we may pray for, but we're not going to say, take this person and do this to them. I have here, this is an example of a prayer to Ogun for his protection and blessings. Ogun Mojuba, as I pay homage to you, I beg you, Ogun, that just as water never reaches the ground and travels without a path, so let me always have a good path to follow on this earth. I sing your praises, Ogun, that you will help me and keep me safe. Protect me and disrupt the work of those who cast spells against me. Protect me and disrupt the work of all enemies, known and unknown. Protect me and disrupt the work of hypocrites. Protect me and disrupt the work of those who harbor ill thoughts against me. I praise you, Ogun, and ask that you will help me and keep me safe. Protect me against all who work against me. Let me not experience the misfortune of the death of my children.
Anybody
rather
there?
Protect me and help me to live long so that I may see generations of my children around me. I pray to you, Ogun, that I will have strength. I pray to you, Ogun, that I will have victory over my enemies today and all the days of my earthly life. Let my enemies be the ones to suffer enduring poverty and hardship, if that is what they wish against me. And let them be the ones to beg forgiveness. Again, I pray that you allow me to live long and prosper and to be victorious over my enemies. Let my hair grow long and gray down my back. I pray to you for good health, for prosperity, and all good things in life. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Ashe, Asheo.
And notice in that prayer, we don't identify any specific enemy, because it's not our place to do that. And again, as I said, we can focus on an enemy, and that may not even be the person who's really against us. It also may be that the person is against us, but they're a small part of the picture. There are other enemies, bigger enemies. Ifa and the Orisha know things that we do not. Our vision is generally limited by the physical world that we live in. And what we put together, what we either deduce in our mind or what we interpolate in our mind may not be accurate as to what the real picture is. Mm-hmm. So we leave these problems, we leave our enemies in the hands of Orisha, and we let the Orisha take care of it. And this prayer to Ogun, who is a great warrior, is one of the prayers that we can use to give us the benefit of the Orisha in our lives. Ashe.
Ashe. Indeed, we give thanks. So would you say that, and what is your opinion then of our true relationship with Ogu? And is it indeed the feeding, if you will, of Ogu that is more important than any other aspect of our relationship to him?
Well, feeding any Orisha is extremely important in our relationship to that Orisha. Mm-hmm. Because it's give and take. Right? All the Orisha ask of us is due respect and honor. They don't ask us to go out and kill anybody. They don't ask us to defeat their enemies. They don't ask us for things of the same magnitude that we ask of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? We ask them to protect us and to give us wealth and all these things. They don't ask that of us. All they ask of us is simple things, offerings and reverence. That's it. And for something so simple that can foster a beneficial relationship for us and help us through everything in life that we ever experience, that's a small price to pay.
Yeah.
And now, we know in our faith we have the practice of animal sacrifices. And a lot of people new to the faith, or a lot of people just looking into it from the outside, they see this and say, oh, that's hideous, that's animal cruelty. If you want to see animal cruelty, go see how the chickens are raised that we buy at the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Go see how any of the animals are raised that we buy in the supermarkets. That's animal cruelty. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Animals that we sacrifice in Ifa, these are animals that have been raised properly, fed properly in a natural environment. And when we slaughter an animal in the process of making a sacrifice and doing our Ebo, making offerings to the Orisha, we are praying over that animal. We are blessing that animal, its blood, its flesh, everything that animal is. And we are asking for the blessings of Olodumare and the Orisha over this meat, over this, because it becomes food. Because most Ebo, the animals that are killed, become food. And it's really no different than the rabbis, Jewish rabbis, blessing their meats to make them kosher.
Yeah.
This is a tradition that has been going on since the beginning of human life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we bless, what we are doing is we're blessing our food and we're asking for blessing. And we are asking for the blessing of the Orisha. So it's just in the course of us doing what we would normally do. And you have to eat. At some point you're going to sacrifice something. You're going to bring the end of a life to something. Even if a person says, oh, well, I can't do that, I'm a vegetarian. Well, guess what? The vegetables you eat are alive at some point. Right? If you cook them or if you do not cook them, you chew them up and digest them. They become dead. You take the life out of it. And that life force transfers. It transfers into us, it transfers into the earth, and goes back into the cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
this act of sacrificing is, again, a small price to pay to get the help of the Orisha. Very small. And that was one part of the question, was whether making an offering was most important and key to our relationship with Ogun. What was the other part of that question?
Or would you say that sacrifice was more important?
Well, like I said, it's a key factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a key factor. It's very important that we offer something. Even if you're not sacrificing an animal and offering its blood, if you just have a plate of food for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and
mm-hmm.
before you take a portion of that to offer to the Orisha, you are, again, fostering the relationship between you and that Orisha. So the sacrifice is very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely very important.
And the usage of fire is also a crucial element in the service to Ogun, particularly in the Bodoin traditions. We typically have some source of fire burning when we go before Ogun. Would you say that was similar in Ifa or has some cultural similarity?
Not really. Now, a lot of times in ceremonies for different Orisha, you may have some kind of a candle. Now, here in the Western Hemisphere, when we get a candle, generally we go to the store, a Botanica or something like that, and get one of these big 7-day candles or something and burn them. But the traditional candle that's used in Ifa is really a bowl or pot with palm oil in it and a strand of cloth, a twisted strand of cloth coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the end of the cloth is lit. And it'll burn a very long time because you have a whole pot of palm oil.
Yeah.
Which will keep a very mm-hmm. long time. So, you know, we do have candle burning in that sense. As far as any other type of fire in association with Ogun, I don't know about that. I haven't seen that practice in traditional Ifa. Are there exceptions to every rule? So I'm not going to say hard and fast. No, that's never done because there's always an exception somewhere. Fire is generally associated more with Shango.
I can. And I can use
this. Shango is the Orisha of thunder and lightning, and we know from lightning we also get fire when lightning strikes something.
Mm-hmm.
So fire is generally associated with Shango rather than Ogun. Now, however, Ogun is the Orisha of iron as well. And we do know in iron smithing, we do need flame, very, very hot flame in order
I was getting ready to say next, is that we also associate Ogun with iron, and particularly the cauldron pot, which some people seem to think is some European transplant. But indeed, we had iron smelting and various implements of iron made in Africa as well. Now, I know in the Congo path, which much of the Bodoin traditions come from, particularly Iwe and Congo path, there's a great deal of emphasis on iron and iron implements, such as the pot in association with Ogun. And it's actually the pot that we set aflame in the ceremonies in Bodoin, often with rum or some other flammable material, and they'll set the pot literally on fire, to give light, if you will.
Now, there's a difference in West Africa as far as, you know, what represents Ogun. I mean, yes, anything that's made of metal, any especially iron, is associated with Ogun. However, Ogun in West Africa is traditionally not in a pot. Now, here we use it, I think, more as a matter of convenience, and also because of the fact that the forming of that pot is in art.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. I think it's important that be made clear.
Yeah, that is an art that belongs to Ogun, clearly. And so we shouldn't knock the idea of Ogun in the West here being items that are in a cast iron pot, because that does pay homage to Ogun. But the difference in West Africa is that Ogun is usually in the ground rather than in a pot.